بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 25th session, reading from التوضيح. I'm sorry, 26. Yeah, 26. Reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith by Imam Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah. We have been reading in the third and final section of this book, where the author, after mentioning in some great detail evidences and proofs of the correct definition of Iman, and then in the second section he followed that definition with the essential elements of Iman, the things that strengthen and increase Iman. And in this final section, the author, rahimahullah, he mentions yani the fruits of Iman, the benefits that one can expect to achieve or to attain because of the presence of Iman in the heart. Before we look at what I think will be our sixth and seventh of the fruits of Iman, alaykum salam, I want to quickly review what we covered, some of the points that we covered last week from the question and study guide number 25. The first question being, discuss the two primary aspects of the author's definition of the fourth fruit of Iman as it relates to the ayah 38 from 22nd surah of the Quran. Any of the two primary aspects of the author's definition of the fourth fruit of Iman. And it related to the ayah in the Quran where Allah says, "Inna Allah yudafi'u 'ana alladhina amanu," that Allah defends, yani those who believe. He mentioned two aspects of this fruit of Iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the believers. Naam? You have your hand? Give it a shot. Naam.
Allah will keep them from every dislike thing.
Okay, Allah will yani defend them. He will prevent yani from harming them. Every makruh, everything that is disliked. Naam.
And he will rescue them from every hardship.
Wa yunajjihim min ash-shadaid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them. He will defend them from the things that they dislike, the harms and evils that they want to be protected from. And if they fell into any difficulty or hardship, He will rescue them from it. The second question gives some of the specifics from the author's explanation of what Allah's defense of the mu'mineen entails. And after mentioning these two things, then he explained in detail that Allah, His defending, protecting the believers, entails a number of things. From amongst them, he mentioned
Shaitan.
Okay, that He defends them, protects them from the evil of the shayateen al-ins and shayateen al-jinn. Yani the devils from amongst the human beings and the devils from amongst the jinn. And also
defends them
He defends them yani from the dislike things. He protects them from that thing befalling them before it befalls. And if it had befell them, He removes it. He raises it up from them or He reduces it. Now, and He also said, not necessarily in this order, Talib.
He said that He protects them
From their enemies. Protects them from their enemies. So He said He defends them from the makruh, from everything disliked. He defends them from the evils of the shayateen, from amongst human beings and from amongst the jinn. And He defends them from their enemies. And He made some detail about the makruh. He said, yani that He protects them before it befalls them. And if it befell them, He removes it from them. Or He at least reduces it. Question number 3. Memorize the dua of Yunus alayhi salam when he called out to his Rabb after he was swallowed by the hoot. And this is mentioned in 21st surah, Surah Al-Anbiya 87 and 88. The dua of Yunus alayhi salam. Now. Kuntu min al-zalimeen. And in this dua, these words of Yunus alayhi salam are tremendous. three small expressions. La ilaha illa anta, tawheed. Subhanaka, yani tasbih, yani declaring Allah to be free from imperfections, from any kind of defect or shortcomings, or whatever has been falsely ascribed to him, such as he has a son or spouse or whatever, that the people of kufr have ascribed to Allah falsely. And finally, yani, inni kuntu min al-zalimin, yani is an expression of being in need of Allah and seeking His forgiveness and His pardon and to overlook one's shortcomings. This is a supplication that we need to recite, yani, frequently. May Allah grant us success in keeping this in our mind, expressing it from, yani, sincerity from our hearts and manifesting it on our tongue and living by it, yani, what it means, yani, acting upon tawheed and acting upon, yani, recognizing, realizing the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realizing our own shortcomings and that we are in need of His pardon and His forgiveness. Question number 4, discuss the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the dua of Yunus alayhi salam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say concerning this dua of Yunus? Naam. Fadhil. Talib.
Prophet said, whoever makes this dua sincerely, Allah will remove them from any distress.
Naam. He said, this dua, this supplication, da'u to Akhi Yunus, this supplication of my brother Yunus, yani brother, yani from amongst the prophets. Nobody who is in difficulty or hardship or distress supplicates with it, except that Allah, yani, would grant them a way out. Yani, He would grant them relief from the difficulty that they're in. And then he mentioned those three expressions. Question number 5, mention some of the fruits of Iman and Taqwa. They mention Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th and 5th ayat. The author, Rahimahullah, mentioned two of those ayats. And in the other ayats also, yani, amongst them, there are the fruits of Iman and Taqwa. From amongst them, he said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ Allah will make a way out for him, a makhraj for him. Naam. And he also said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ He'll provide for him, yani from where he didn't expect it. And he also said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ He'll make his affair easy for him. And although the Shaykh didn't mention the 5th ayat, also in that ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ That Allah will magnify His reward and Allah will expiate His sins. And this means that the fruits, the benefits of at-taqwa are tremendous. Yani, if these are some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those who observe taqwa, then it makes us to know the importance of paying attention to at-taqwa, knowing what it is and striving to observe the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning, yani, fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions to the best of our ability and asking Allah's, yani, help in doing so. Question number 6, mention the qa'idah, which explains why these verses, yani in Surah Al-Talaq, why these verses are not limited to the subject of divorce, even though they came, yani, in that context. Naam, Abdul Wali.
The ayah says, whoever serves taqwa, Allah will remove every difficulty. And Imam Sa'di also says, beautiful explanations of tafsir, that the lesson is in the generality of the ayah,
Naam.
Not the specific reason for which the ayah was revealed.
Naam. In his tafsir, the author, rahimahullah, mentions that even though Allah is using this expression in a specific context of divorce and the hardships and difficulties that it may cause for a person, but the rule here is what? That al-ibra bi umum al-love la bi khusus al-sabab. That the point, the benefit, yani, the lesson that we learn is from the general expression, not limited to the specific occasion on which, yani, about which something was revealed. And this is very, very important. And lots of times we find the scholars quoting an ayah from the Quran out of the context in which it was revealed. Because why? Because, yani, the benefit that we take from, yani, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited to the special occasion on which it came. Rather, its general meaning is also applicable, and therefore whoever observes taqwa of Allah in any situation or circumstance, then indeed, yani, it will be applicable to them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for them, that Allah will grant them ease, that Allah will forgive their sins and magnify their reward until the end of yani the benefits that come from al-Iman and Taqwa. Question number 7 mentioned the reward promised by Allah to those who do righteous deeds while being a mu'min. In Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 97th Ayat. And this was the fifth fruit. Naam, I'm sorry, go ahead. Naam, naam. Al-Hayat al-Tayyiba. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani those who believe and do good deeds, Iman and Amal al-Salih, then Allah will grant them the good life. And the scholars yani of Tafsir yani mention various different views of the Salaf concerning the good life. Yani the general meaning of them, which they all in agreement about, is that it means that a person will have... Yeah, is that a question that we have here? Oh yeah, it is. I'm not going to explain it now. Wait for the next question. Yeah, the good life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person a good life. Al-hayat al-tayyiba. Yani in this world, particularly. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also... Yani he would what? He would reward them with the best of what they did. Yani the best of their deeds. Allah will reward accordingly. Which is tremendous. Which is tremendous, because quite often we might not do our deeds so well, but the best of what we did, yani what more can a person ask for? The last question: discuss the author's explanation about Hayat al-Tayyiba, the good life, mentioned in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 97th Ayah. And he mentioned several elements. Sadiq.
The sentence around the heart being at rest.
The heart being at rest. In addition to, what else? Naam. Contentment with what Allah has provided. Anything else?
Not disturbed from
that. And not being disturbed or bothered or troubled by the things that trouble the person who doesn't have Iman. Mm-hmm. And a person wouldn't be troubled by those things because of their Iman. So the core meaning of it is what? It centers around the heart. The rest, contentment, peace and tranquility of the heart. And being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided and not being troubled by the things that trouble the heart, yani for those who don't have Iman. So these are some of the things that we mentioned last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, our time is between Maghrib and Isha. We really got to pay attention to the time. And if somebody could give me a reminder when we're 10 minutes to, and 10 minutes remaining, just in case I forget. Okay. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to be reading in English from page 68 through page 70, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. That's what I hope we will cover. And in Arabic, we'll be reading from page 70, near the top of the page, until 72. And let me just note here that in English, it is mentioned as the sixth and seventh fruit. In the Arabic text that we shared with the class, it is mentioned as 6 and 7th, except that the 7th extends to what in the English translation is mentioned as 8. So we're going to read the first part of 7 and save the second part that's mentioned in the English translation under 8. We're going to save it, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, for next week. And in some of the Arabic editions it's also like that, the way it is in that English edition. And my older Arabic edition is mentioned like that, 6, 7 and 8. What we yani would see here in this Arabic edition as 6 and 7. It's mentioned as 6, 7 and 8. So we're going to stop short. In 7, we're not going to complete it all. Next week, we'll try to cover it, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And it would have been quite lengthy in any case to try to cover it. It's a lot. So, yes, so we're reading, like I said, in English from page 68, in Arabic from page 70, where the author says, وَمِنْهَا. And from minha, by minha, he means what? Minha means from the fruits, from the thamarat, from the fawaid of Iman. وَمِنْهَا, and he's listing the fruits of Iman, the fruits of the tree of Iman. And by the way, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned and spent some time with in the past, and he mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, yani the parable of the good word, kalima tayyiba, that's like a shajara tayyiba. And a shajara tayyiba, a good tree, can only bring about good fruits. So everything that he has mentioned here, every fruit that comes from Iman, it's all good. And the author has singled out a number of tremendous fruits of Iman. All of them are yani worth striving for. Every single one of them is worth striving for. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to try to mention two of them. And we'll continue in the following sessions, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So he says six, وَمِنْهَا and from the ثمرات, from the فوائد of Iman, أَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ إِنَّمَا تَصِحُّ وَتَكْمُلُ بِحَسَبِ مَا يَقُومُ بِقَلْبْ صَاحِبِهَا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ. And this is tremendous. Yani, from the fruits of Iman is that every action and every speech, إِنَّمَا تَصِحُّ, will only, indeed, verily, definitely, will only be صحيح, will only be correct, will only be valid, will only be completed and perfected in accordance with what is in the heart of that person, what he has of Iman and Ikhlas. Yani, the correctness of every deed and every action, and the completeness and the perfection of it, will be in accordance with the level of Iman and Ikhlas that the person has in their heart. This will be the determining factor. Yani, how valid, or will it be invalid, or correct or incorrect, or complete and perfect a person's deed or speech will be in accordance with the level of their Iman and the yani level of their Ikhlas. So this means that Iman and Ikhlas, yani having Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever He has commanded us to believe in, and doing whatever we do sincerely for the sake of Allah, will determine whether or not anything that we do or anything that we say will be valid, will be acceptable, will be rewarded, and to what extent. Yani how complete and perfect it will be. وَلِهَذَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ هَذَا الشَّرْطِ شَرْطِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَسَاسُ كُلِّ عَمَلٍ. And for this reason Allah has mentioned this shart, this condition. Yani meaning a condition without which something will not be valid. It will not be correct. It will not be complete and perfect. This is a condition. It's a necessary element. Without it, you have nothing. For this reason Allah has mentioned this shart, which is huwa asasu kulli amal. It is the asas, the foundation for every deed. Everything is built upon it. If anything is built upon no foundation, what will be the end of it? Yani, it can't stand without a foundation. And this is the asas, yani the usul. As we mentioned earlier about the shajaratul iman, that it has usul, it has foundations, and it has furu', it has branches, and it has fruits. And from the furu', yani, I mean from the usul, or here as you mentioned, the asas of the tree of iman is iman itself. That is the foundation that everything else has to be built upon. This condition is mentioned in a number of places in the Quran. The Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, mentions here two of them. From Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 94th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ. Yani whoever does الصالحات, righteous deeds, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن, while he is a mu'min, yani his condition, his how he's doing those deeds while he has iman, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ, then yani his effort that he made, the actions that he did while being a mu'min, having iman, will not be yani rejected, will not be denied, rather it will be accepted. Here he says, the author explaining this ayat, he says, يعني فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ أي لَا يُجْهَدُ سَعْيُهُ وَلَا يُضِيعُ عَمَلُهُ بَلْ يُضَاعَفُ بِحَسَبِ قُوَّةِ إِيمَانِهِ. That the meaning of this is that whoever does righteous deeds and he is a believer, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ لا يجهد سعيه. Yani his effort that he made will not be denied. It will not be yani rejected. ولا يضيع عمله. And his action, his deeds will not be wasted. It will not be lost. بل يضاعف. Rather, it will be multiplied in accordance with the strength of his iman. And then he mentions also a proof of this, that iman is the foundation. Yani, without it, nothing would be valid. It would not be accepted. He says also from Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 19th Ayah, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. That whoever أراد الآخرة, whoever intended, desired, يعني the basis of their deed is what? Their irada, they want the reward of the next life. ومن أراد الآخرة, يعني they didn't do something wanting the dunya. They didn't do it for something, they did it for the akhirah. وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. And then they strove for it with the striving that's necessary for that. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. While his hal, his condition, is that he has iman. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Then these people, their efforts will be مَشْكُورًا. يعني it will be thanked, it will be appreciated. Meaning, it will be rewarded. It will be accepted and it will be rewarded. Here in this ayah, Allah mentions three things. من أراد الآخرة. That a person, their irada, their intent, is the next life, not the world. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. And then they made the effort that's necessary to achieve that, the reward of the next life. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. But he has to be, يعني, a believer. Then these people, their efforts will be مَشْكُورًا. يعني they will be accepted, they will be rewarded. I want to just stop here for a minute and look at the tafsir just briefly. As far as the first ayah, the Imam, the author, Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentions the first ayah from Surah Al-Anbiya 2194, that whoever does righteous deeds, that is, righteous deeds, whoever does righteous deeds while he's a believer, then they will not be, يعني فلا كفران له, then their deeds will not be rejected, they will not be, يعني, wasted. He says here that those deeds, الصالحات, it means الأعمال التي, يعني, those deeds which the messengers, the prophets and messengers of Allah, which they have legislated, and that the things that they brought, and the things that they, that were encouraged for people to do in the revelations that came. Meaning righteous deeds are not what the people, any individual or group or society think is righteous, rather it's what Allah has legislated, that He has informed us about through His prophets and messengers and in the revelations. And that person who does those righteous deeds, he is a mu'min, yani believing in Allah and the messengers and whatever they brought. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن means that he believes in Allah and he believes in the messengers and he believes in the message that they brought. Then there will be no denial of their effort, meaning their effort will not be lost, it will not become invalid, rather it will be multiplied many times over. So that's what he said concerning the first ayah. And the second ayah, وَمَنْ أَرَادِ الْآخِرَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. He says concerning this, يعني whoever يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَ, meaning, يعني not the dunya, whoever wants the next life. And they strove for it. يعني strove for it in the way that we have been called to it by the revealed scriptures and that which has remained from the messengers and prophets. And he acted upon that in accordance with his ability, to the best of one's ability, while that person is a believer in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers in the last day, then these people's, their effort, يعني would be مَشْكُورًا أي مَقْبُولًا. It would be accepted. يعني they would get the reward for what they have done. After this, the Shaykh mentions concerning the second ayah, the ayah from Surah Isra, من أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها. And he strove, يعني for it. Whoever wanted the hereafter, he strove for it. يعني he did the deeds that were, يعني necessary for getting the hereafter while he's a believer. He said, "As-sa'yu lil-akhirah." What is striving for the hereafter, the next life? Huwa al-amalu bi-kulli ma yukarribu ilayha wa yudni minha min al-amal allati shara'aha Allah ala lisan nabiyhi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is a foundation, very important foundation. Striving for the hereafter is not according to the intellect or the likes or taste or yani whatever has been determined by any individual or any society. ورather السعي للآخرة, it is doing the deeds, every deed that brings a person near to the hereafter. يعني that brings a person close to the hereafter from those deeds which have been legislated by Allah upon the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, the deeds that are necessary for striving for the hereafter, yani are the deeds that Allah has legislated through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those things which bring us near to Allah and bring us near to the pleasure of Allah and near to the reward of Allah. فَإِذَا تَأَسَّسَتْ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَانْبَنَتْ عَلَيْهِ كَانَ سَعْيٌ مَشْكُورًا مَقْبُولًا مُضَاعَفًا لَا يُضِيعُ مِنْهُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. So if those efforts, those deeds which bring one near to the reward of the next life, would bring one near to the pleasure of Allah, that which has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person does those deeds and those deeds are based upon, yani the asas, the foundation of them is iman, they are built upon iman, in that case that person's effort, by the way, this paragraph here is not in the English translation, I forgot to mention that, this paragraph here, yani after the mention that the striving for the hereafter, it is yani al-amal bi kulli ma yuqarrib, yani acting upon everything that Allah, that brings one near to the hereafter, that brings one close to the hereafter, of the deeds that Allah has legislated on the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At this point, yani the next paragraph is not mentioned in the English translation, and that is فَإِذَا تَأَسَّسَتْ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. So if those deeds are based upon iman, their foundation is iman, they are built upon iman, then that striving, the Shaykh is mentioning, then that striving will be mashkura, meaning it will be appreciated, it will be maqbula, it will be accepted, it will be mudha'afa, it will be multiplied. La yudi'u minhu mithqal dharratin, and not even the weight of a dharra from it will be lost or wasted. Nothing will be lost from it. And whoever does good deeds according to what Allah has legislated, and they do those deeds based upon iman, yani meaning they are a person who has iman, they're doing it because they believe in Allah and what He has sent, then it will be accepted, it will be multiplied, and not even mithqal dharra, yani not even that which is the weight of a small ant, from it will be lost. And then the author, yani this part comes back in the translation again, the author says, وَأَمَّا إِذَا فَقَدَ الْعَمَلُ الْإِيمَانَ. But if the amal that a person does, doesn't have iman, yani it's not based upon iman, if it's missing iman, yani it's a deed that might look good, but yani it doesn't have iman, it's not based upon iman. فَلَوْ اسْتَغْرَقَ الْعَامِلُ لَيْلَهُ وَنَهَارَهُ فَإِنَّهُ غَيْرُ مَقْبُولٍ. In that case, if any deed that a person does, whatever it might be, it's not based upon iman, even if that person, yani, was completely devoted in the day and in the night to doing those deeds, it would never be accepted from him. It would not be accepted. No matter how much the person does of good deeds, if it's not based upon iman, it would not be accepted. The proof of this, and there are many, the author mentions from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 23rd ayah, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we came to their deeds, that which they did, مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ, whatever they did, Allah came, looked at it, examined it, and He, what? Rejected it. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Yani, we have made it like particles of dust scattered in the air. And he lost. A person, if there were particles of dust in front of you, and you blew on it, you won't be able to get anything. Even without blowing on it, you can't get it, right? So what about if it's scattered? Yani this is how their deeds would be wasted, it would be lost. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهَا أُسِّسَ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ الَّذِي رُوحُهُ الْإِخْلَاصُ لِلْمَعْبُودِ وَالْمُتَابَعَةُ لِلْرَسُولِ. And the reason why their deeds will be wasted, lost, they will get nothing from it, it is because it has been based upon أُسِّسَتْ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. It has been based upon, yani it is not based upon iman in Allah and iman in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي رُوحُهُ And the ruh of this iman in Allah and His Messenger. Yani the core, the essence of it. The core, the essence of iman in Allah and His Messenger. He said it is al-ikhlas lil-ma'bud. It is having ikhlas for the one that is worshipped. And he's having ikhlas in the deeds that one does as an act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing it exclusively for Allah alone. وَالْمُتَابَعَةُ لِلرَّسُولِ And that in those deeds that a person does, they strictly adhere to. Yani the way, the action of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that these are what are known as the two essential yani conditions for any deed to be accepted. That is, that a person has to do it with ikhlas, sincerely for Allah alone, and they have to do it by following, al-mutaba'a, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in what they do. This is the core, this is the essence of iman in Allah and His Messenger, that a person worships Allah alone and does whatever they do for Allah alone, and that they do it in accordance with the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, just a point that the author, rahimahullah, in his tafsir makes concerning this particular ayat. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the deeds that they had, that they did, and then He made it as though it was scattered particles of dust. The author, rahimahullah, in his tafsir says, He came to the deeds that they did, ma'amilu. Min amalin, the deeds that they did. Al amaluhum allati raja'u an takuna khayran lahum wa ta'abu fiha. Yani the deeds that they had hope in, that those deeds would be good for them, that Allah would accept them and that Allah would reward them. They had hope in those deeds. And they wore themselves out in doing them. Yani they worked hard at doing it. And they had hoped that this was going to bring good to them. He said, and then Allah made it batil, made it useless. If that's what happened to the deeds that they had hope in, then what about the deeds that they knew were false, that they knew were evil, that they knew that Allah would never accept or reward? Yani it was, meaning it was what they considered to be good, their prayers, prayer that wasn't done for Allah alone, that wasn't done in accordance with the sunnah, or their charity, or their fasting, or whatever they did of good, kindness to people, whatever it was that they did, but they didn't do it sincerely for Allah alone, and they didn't do it in accordance with the sunnah. They had hope in those deeds, and they worked hard to do them, and they would be wasted. So what about the other stuff that they did, that they had no hope aslan in? After this, Allahu musta'an. What time is it right now? Huh?
8:17.
8:17? Okay, yeah. We got a lot to go to. So here the author mentions another proof concerning those people who did deeds that would be wasted. And this one requires a lengthy discussion. I mean, and he will try to summarize. The Shaykh, he doesn't give he only gives one sentence concerning this, and in his tafsir he brings yani some other benefits. We'll see some of it. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 103rd, 4th and 5th Ayah. The saying of Allah the Most High, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَالًا Shall we inform you about those who will be the greatest losers in terms of their deeds? In terms of the deeds that they will be the greatest of losers. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا Yani they are those, the greatest of losers, in terms of their deeds that they did, that they thought they were going to get benefit from. The ones who will be the greatest losers in reference to their deeds are those who dalla sa'yuhum. Yani their efforts were wasted, they went astray. And it wasn't done with ikhlas, it wasn't done in accordance with the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani who, their efforts in the life of this world were lost, were wasted. While they were thinking, they were imagining that they were doing something good. They imagined that it was good, and it was wasted. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ These are those who disbelieved in the ayat of their Rabb, and of His meeting, yani the day of accounting. فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ So their deeds would be yani made invalid, would be lost, would be wasted, would be destroyed. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will not give it any weight on the day of resurrection. Meaning it wouldn't have any weight. Yani on the scales of good for them, would have no weight at all. The author, he says, فَهُمْ لَمَّا فَقَدُوا الْإِيمَانِ وَحَلَّ مَحَلَّهُ الْكُفْرُ بِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ حَبِثَتْ عَمَالُهُمْ. So, since they were absent iman, they didn't have iman. Yani the basis of those deeds were not based upon iman, but in the place of iman there was kufr, disbelief in Allah and His ayat. Therefore their deeds were nullified, made void, wasted, lost. Yeah, I'm going to just keep going because I realize the time is... In any case, now, after this the author mentions two more ayat on this particular fruit from the fruits of Iman. He says the saying of Allah the Most High from Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 65th ayat, وَلَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. That indeed, if you were to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, do something that's from the rights of Allah, offering it to other than Allah, or giving anyone or anything a share in that which is exclusively the rights of Allah. If you were to do that, then definitely, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ, then you would definitely, yani your deeds would definitely be made null and void, would be destroyed, would be lost, would be wasted. Yani shirk would make it to be completely lost, completely wasted. Now, so yani the author rahimahullah in his tafsir of the Quran, he mentions that shirk is something that in the prophethood, in every prophet who came, shirk was something, was known to be something which destroys all deeds. Yani this is not something exclusive to that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. Rather, every prophet, yani that which he came with, yani in their revelation, in their guidance, in that which they brought to the people, it was known that making something as an equal or partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy a person's deeds. The final ayat that he mentions here is from Surah Al-An'am, similar to the previous ayat, 6th Surah, 88th ayat. وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا, that if they, the people, were to make shirk, then yani whatever they were doing, the deeds that they did, it would be lost, it would be made void, it would be nullified, it would be invalid. And the Shaykh here, he says, that indeed shirk is that which destroys a deed. And it also necessitates, if a person dies upon it, that they will be in the hellfire eternally. It not only destroys the deeds, but it requires that a person who dies upon shirk, that they remain in the hellfire permanently. He says this ayat, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, was revealed in reference to the prophets. That if they, the prophets of Allah, if they had committed shirk, then the deeds that they did would be wasted. So if that is so for the prophets, then what about other than them? What about other than them? The Shaykh closes this particular point here with a very important point. وَلِهَذَا كَانَتْ, and for this reason, because of the importance of iman being the foundation of every deed, and the danger of shirk, yani that a person falls into shirk in anything that they do. For this reason, وَلِهَذَا كَانَتْ الرِّدَّ عَنَ الْإِيمَانِ تُحْبِتُ جَمِيلَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. And for this reason, apostasy, going out of iman, going out of Islam, destroys every righteous deed. Every righteous deed. كما أن الدخول في الإسلام والإيمان يجب ما قبله من السيئات وإن عظمت. In the same way, the opposite is true. That entry into Islam and Iman destroys whatever was before it of evil deeds, however great they may be. Meaning that in the same way that a person going out of Islam, going out of Iman, destroys every good deed that they did, in the same way entering into Islam and Iman, yani nullifies every evil deed that a person did. Which shows us the greatness of entering into Islam. And then he says, "Wa tawbah." And by the way, there's an authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-Islam yajubbu ma kana qablahu." And in some of the narration, "min al-dhunub." That Islam, yani, removes whatever was before it of sins. So that a person, when they enter Islam, yani, with the requirements of what it requires, then whatever they did before, Allah removes it from them. But of course, after they enter Islam, then whatever they did after that is still upon them. Yani whatever a person does after they enter Islam will be upon them, unless they ask Allah's forgiveness and repent from it. Then the Shaykh says, وَالتَّوْبَةَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ الْمُنَافِيَةِ لِلْإِيمَانِ وَالْقَادِحَةِ فِيهِ وَالْمُنْقِصَةِ لَهُ تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهَا. And similarly, at tawbah, repentance with its conditions, repentance from the sins, al-dhunub, al-munafiyati lil-iman, from the sins that negate, that nullify iman, wal-qadihati fi, and those which damage or cause harm to one's iman, even if it didn't nullify it completely, and those which are munqisati lahu, which decrease or cause a defect in iman, and yet tawbah, from these kinds of sins, تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهَا, it removes whatever was before it. Whether it's those sins that merely, and that is, I shouldn't say merely, but if it was those sins that decrease a person's iman, or those sins which damage a person's iman, or those sins which nullify iman completely, at-tawbah removes all of that, which shows the greatness of at-tawbah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that is hasan, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who repents from a sin, yani with its conditions, the conditions of repentance, is like the one who doesn't have any sin. Wow. The one who repents from a sin is like the one who doesn't have any sin. Of course, with the conditions of repentance. Yani that a person fulfill the conditions of repentance, meaning that they, yani, stop doing what they're doing and feel remorse for what they're doing and make a firm resolve not to go back to it again. And if it involves the rights of the people, returning their rights to them. The next fruit that the author rahimahullah mentions, he mentions briefly, and he mentions with it two ayat that we may be able to comment briefly upon, but because of the time limit, Allahu musta'an. This is also from the great fruits of iman, yani from the benefits that a person can hope for, can expect, can anticipate, if they monitor their iman, guard their iman, nourish their iman, then this is from the fruits that a person can expect. وَمِنْهَا, seventh fruit from the fruits of iman, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْإِيمَانِ يَهْدِيهِ اللَّهُ إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That from the fruits of iman is that the person who has iman, Allah will guide him إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He will guide him to the straight path. In my original previous yani copy of this book in Arabic, the wording is a little bit different. I'm going to read the wording that we have here and the one that we've been using. He says, وَبِهَدْيِهِ فِي الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ يَهْدِهِ إِلَى عِلْمِ الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى الْعَمَلَ بِهِ. To the end of what he says. So from the fruits of iman is that the person who has iman, Allah will guide him to as-sirat al-mustaqim. That's one guidance. Guiding him to as-sirat al-mustaqim. وَبِهَدِهِ, and by his guidance, fi as-sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him in or upon the straight path. Jazakallah khair. And what is understood from this is that there's guidance إِلَى الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ and there's guidance في الصراط المستقيم. In my previous copy of this book in Arabic, he says, إِلَى الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَيَهْدِيهِ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ يعني without the preposition. As it came in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ without a preposition. And the point here is that there's guidance إِلَى الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ and there's guidance يعني عَلَى الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The author, he says here that from the fruits of Iman is that the person who has Iman, Allah guides him to the straight path. And based upon his guiding him, يعني وبهديه في الصراط المستقيم, upon the straight path, يهديه إلى علم الحق, he guides him to the knowledge of the truth, وَإِلَى الْعَمَلْ بِهِ, and to acting upon it. And to acting upon it. And then he says, وَإِلَى التَّلَقِّي الْمَحَابِ وَالسُّرُورِ بِالشُّكْرِ وَالتَّلَقِّي الْمَكَارِ وَالْمَصَاعِبِ بِالرِّضَى وَالصَّبْرِ. And he guides him to يعني the acceptance of the things that are loved and the things that يعني on and to happiness, يعني the things that Allah gives him, the beloved things that Allah gives him, that he is thankful, يعني he accepts those things with gratitude, and he accepts the things that are disliked, the makarih and the masaib, the afflictions that befall him, بالرضا والصبر, يعني being pleased with what Allah has decreed for him and being patient with it. Being pleased with it and being patient with it. Yani the Shaykh, the author, Sa'adi rahimahullah, in his tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha, from the ayat, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, he says, guide us, direct us, and grant us success in traveling upon the straight path. Yani the clear path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Jannah. And that is to know the truth and to act upon it. To know the truth and to act upon it. فَهْدِنَا إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ وَهْدِنَا فِي الصِّرَاطِ. Yani so guide us to the sirat and guide us yani fi الصِّرَاطِ. Yani in upon the sirat. Guide us to it and then guide us along it. فَالْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ, guiding إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ is sticking to the deen of Islam and abandoning every other deen besides it. وَالْهِدَايَةَ فِي الصِّرَاطِ, and guidance in the sirat, it includes the guidance to all, everything of the details of the deen. عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا, the knowledge as well as the action. So here, yani, we're understanding, yani, from what the author says here, yani, guiding to Islam and abandoning every other way besides it, and then guiding us upon this path of Islam to the details of this deen of Allah, yani, including the knowledge that is necessary, and then the actions that are based upon that knowledge. The author, he then quotes another ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Yunus, 10th Surah, 9th ayah. Before that, yani, before that, let me just, and you see if I can clarify yani the statement that the Shaykh he made here that we just read a little bit. Yani that this particular point here is that the person who has iman, Allah guides him to the straight path, and he guides him upon the straight path. He guides him to knowledge of the truth, and he guides him to acting upon it. He guides him to knowledge of the truth, and he guides him to acting upon it. Yani, this guidance includes knowledge that is an essential, necessary element of Islam, that a person has knowledge. And then that knowledge has to be acted upon. And also, to gratitude, al-shukr, and to al-rida wa-sabr, yani being pleased and being patient, yani to be thankful for what Allah has given us, and also to be patient with the trials and the tribulations. Then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, 10th surah, 9th ayah, قال الله تعالى إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. That those who believe and do righteous deeds, then their Rabb guides them by their iman. Guides them by their iman. It doesn't say what he guides them to. Some of the scholars said that it's general. It's left here. He guides them based upon their iman. Meaning to everything that's good and to avoid everything that's evil. Inclusive of everything. Yani he guides them to everything that's good and he guides them away from everything that is evil. Naam. Those who believe and do good deeds, Allah guides them, their Rabb guides them by their iman. Yani those who have combined between iman and what is necessitated by iman, doing righteous deeds. And that includes the deeds of the heart and the deeds of the limbs. And it includes doing them sincerely for the sake of Allah and doing them in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is from the tafsir of the Imam al-Sa'di. Then their Rabb will guide them based upon their iman. Yani due to their iman, as a result of their iman. And he will reward them. Yani, and from that reward, the greatest of it is that he gives them hidayah. He gives them guidance. So he teaches them that which will benefit them. And he blesses them to do, yani, the deeds, the righteous deeds that come forth from right guidance. He guides them in this world, and he guides them, yani, in the next life. Okay, finally, the author, he closes with the final ayah. He says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. From Surah Al-Taghabun, 64th Surah, 11th ayah, that no affliction, no musibah befalls a person except by the permission of Allah, except by the decree of Allah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. And whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. Allah guides his heart. Yani no calamity befalls anyone except by the permission of Allah. And whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide his heart at the time that an affliction befalls him. Allah will guide his heart. The Shaykh, he says, قَالَ بَعْدَ السَّلَفِ يَعْنِي أَلْقَمَ إِبْنِ قَيْسِ النَّخَئِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ said, هُوَ الرَّجُلُ تُصِيبُهُ الْمُصِيبَةُ فَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَيَرْضَى وَيُسَلِّمُ. Yani Alqama, rahimahullah, said, the meaning of this ayat, yani part of the meaning of this ayat, that whoever believes in Allah, when that affliction befalls him, Allah guides their heart. He said, this is a person who is afflicted with a calamity. And that person knows that it's from Allah. That this is what Allah has decreed, because nothing befalls anyone except by the decree of Allah. So he is pleased with it, and he surrenders and accepts it. And he surrenders and accepts it. The Shaykh says, and I guess this is what we'll close with. He says in his tafsir, yani not in the book, in his tafsir, he says, وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. This is general, concerning all afflictions that befall a person personally, in their wealth, their children, their loved ones, and whatever is like that. Yani any affliction, whatever it is that befalls a person. All of what befalls a person of afflictions. It is by the qadr of Allah. The qadr of Allah and His qadr. And it is what Allah decreed beforehand and what Allah executed, caused to happen. And this is something that Allah has knowledge of before it occurs. And He had it written, yani in the decree. And then He executed it by His will. And this execution of it is based upon the divine, perfect hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point here, the Shaykh says, the real matter is, will a person fulfill the obligation that is upon them when the affliction befalls them, or will they not? Will they do what they're supposed to do, or will they not? So if they do what they're supposed to do, then they will have a tremendous reward, a great reward, in this world and the next life. So if a person knows, believes and knows that it's from Allah, and they are pleased with what Allah has decreed, and they submit and surrender to the command of Allah, what He has decreed, then Allah guides their heart and makes their heart to be at rest. And they are not troubled or disturbed by the musibah that has befallen them. And likewise, they will not be in the condition of the person who Allah has not guided their heart. They would not be in that condition. But rather, Allah will give them a thabat, firmness, at the time when the calamity befalls them. And He will give them the ability, yani, to do what is necessitated by iman, that is to be patient. And for this reason, this person will get a great reward now in this world, in addition to what Allah has in store for them in the next life. 5 minutes? Tayyib. Jazakallah khair. Walaykum as-salam. From this, the author, rahimahullah, says in his tafsir, from this we know that whoever doesn't believe in Allah at the time of a calamity befalling them, yani meaning they didn't pay attention, they didn't acknowledge or recognize that this is the qadha of Allah and the qadr of Allah. Rather, they only looked at the asbab, that this befell me because I went down the wrong street, or because I walked in front of a car. That would cause you to have an accident, right? They only looked at the asbab, but they didn't consider that everything is by the decree of Allah. So they didn't believe that everything is from Allah. They're not conscious and aware of this. Therefore, yani the calamity befalls them without any benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah leaves them to their self, and they're on their own. And then they suffer with whatever they suffer at the time of that calamity befalling them. At the end of this time, as we close, I just want to just close with comment from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his book, his tremendous, yani tremendous, really tremendous book, explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. He mentions in there, under this particular ayah from the Quran, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, he says that, yani, that whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart, yani, yahdi, he said, what is intended by this? Allah guides them to correct iman in Allah. That iman here means the iman in qadr. They to believe, to know that this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah guides their heart, meaning He gives them tuma'nina. They have yani calmness and tranquility, comfort and rest of their heart. And this is an indication that iman is connected to the heart. And if Allah guides their heart, then also as a result of that, Allah will guide their limbs, yani to be comfortable with that which has befallen them. And this, he said, yani, that this is, yani Al-Qama said, this is a man who has been afflicted with affliction, he knows that it's from Allah, so he's pleased with it and he accepts it. Yani, this is from what is required by iman, that a person who believes in Allah and knows that everything is by the decree of Allah, it is required that we be pleased with what Allah has decreed, and that we surrender and accept it. So if a person knows that the calamity is from Allah, their heart will be calm and tranquil and at rest. And this is, yani this knowledge and this iman and the qadr of Allah is from the greatest things that gives a person comfort and rest and tranquility. Yani believing that everything is by the qadha of Allah and the qadr of Allah. May Allah grant us, yani may Allah provide us with this, yani in our hearts, yani guide our hearts to accepting that everything is by the decree of Allah, and when a calamity befalls us, whatever that we dislike in that occurs to us in this life, that we recognize it at that moment, that this is by the decree of Allah, and that we accept it, and that we, if we're not, yani if we can't reach the level of being pleased with it, then at least, yani we are patient with it. At least being patient. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.